Hey everyone, and welcome back. We're diving into something pretty big today, New Testament theology. I know it sounds a little, well, maybe intimidating at first. Like, are we going to have to, like, crack open a textbook or something?
I promise it won't be that bad.
But really, it's a topic a lot of us want to understand better.
Right. So we're going to take these lectures, some really good academic lectures on New Testament theology, and we're going to unpack them together and, like, boil it all down. No, I don't mean boil down like it's simple.
Well, a little simple, maybe.
We just want to cut through all the jargon and get to the core of it, you know?
Yeah, like the essence of it, the stuff that really matters.
Exactly. And I think you'll be surprised by how engaging and how relevant it actually is.
Yeah.
To your life, even.
Okay, so mission of this deep dive.
All right. The goal is to give you a solid grasp of the key concepts. Like the big ideas, you know.
Yeah, the focal points and like the stuff that connects, like how the New Testament builds on the Old Testament.
Exactly. And along the way, we're going to be asking some pretty intriguing questions. Oh, yeah. I love a good question. Lay it on me.
Well, for example, what makes New Testament theology unique? Like what sets it apart as a discipline?
Ooh, that's a good one.
And then there's the big one. Mm-hmm. Is there like one central unifying theme that runs through the whole Bible? Or are we talking about a bunch of different ideas kind of floating around?
Oh, man, that's the question, isn't it? The million-dollar question. Because, like, if there is one theme, what is it?
And we're going to tackle that, too. We're going to explore different perspectives on that. And trust me, there's a wide range of interpretations out there.
Yeah, I bet.
Oh, and one more thing. Get ready to have your mind blown. Because we're going to be starting our deep dive with, wait for it, Genesis chapters 1 through 3.
Wait, what? Genesis? That's Old Testament stuff.
I know, right? But trust me on this. Those early chapters, they lay the groundwork for so much of what we see in the New Testament. It's going to be epic.
Okay, you've piqued my interest. I'm in. Let's talk New Testament theology. But like, for real, what is it? I mean, I hear people throwing the term around. Is it just a fancy way of saying studying the New Testament? Because I do that already.
It is definitely about studying the New Testament.
Yeah, okay.
But it's a specific way of approaching it. It's not just like reading the stories and trying to figure out what they mean individually, you know?
That's more than that.
It's about seeing the big picture, the overarching narrative. And that narrative is God's redemptive actions for humanity and for all creation. A story that starts way back in the Old Testament, keeps going through the New Testament.
And like culminates in Jesus.
Yes, exactly. Culminating in Jesus Christ.
So it's not just an academic thing, right?
Yeah.
It's about understanding, like, God's plan for us.
Exactly. For you, for me, for the whole world. It's pretty profound when you think about it. And it has practical implications for how we live our lives.
Absolutely. Now, I gotta ask, how is New Testament theology different from, you know, that other thing?
Oh, you mean systematic theology?
Yeah, systematic theology. I always get those two mixed up.
It's a common mix-up, honestly. It's understandable. They both deal with the Bible, of course.
Yeah.
But they approach it differently.
Okay, how so? Hit me with an analogy.
Imagine you've got this huge library filled with books on all sorts of topics, right?
A massive library.
Systematic theology is kind of like organizing that library by category. Theology books over here, history books over there, poetry in this section. So you're building a system for understanding the different parts.
Okay, that makes sense. So where does New Testament theology fit into this library analogy?
Well, imagine instead of organizing the whole library, you pick out a specific storyline that goes through different books. You follow that storyline like a detective following clues. That's kind of what New Testament theology does.
Interesting. So it's more about tracing a theme, a narrative, rather than categorizing everything.
You got it. And as you trace that theme through the Old and New Testaments, you pay attention to things like the historical context. Who's writing, when they're writing, what's going on in the world around them.
And their perspective.
Right, their unique perspective.
Mm.
Because each author brings something different to the table. And you look at the literary genre they're using. Is it poetry? Is it a letter? A historical account? All those factors play a role in understanding the text.
That's cool. It's like detective work, but for the Bible.
Exactly. It's about digging deeper, uncovering the layers of meaning.
All right, so new question. Is there one like big overarching theme that ties the whole Bible together, or is it more like a collection of different ideas?
That's the question that has kept theologians up at night for centuries.
Really? People are losing sleep over this.
Oh, yeah. It's a big deal. Some argue that there's one dominant theme, like the hub of a wheel, with all other themes kind of like spokes radiating out from it.
Interesting. So what are some of the themes that scholars have proposed as that central hub?
Well, there's a whole bunch, like Martin Luther, you know, the reformer. He was big on justification by faith.
Justification by faith, meaning?
Meaning we're made right with God, not by our good works, but through faith in Jesus Christ.
So that's one hub. Any others?
Oh, tons. Rudolf Bultmann, another big name, emphasized the existential message of the New Testament, like how it speaks to the human condition, our search for meaning and all that.
Okay, so completely different focus.
Right. And then you have folks like George Eldon Ladd who point to salvation history, the whole grand narrative of God's saving actions throughout history.
Salvation history. Interesting. Keep going. I'm hooked.
Others focus on the kingdom of God as the central theme, like God's reign breaking into the world, transforming lives, and ultimately bringing about a new creation.
So it's not just heaven, but like a whole new reality.
Yeah. And then there's covenant, the binding agreement between God and humanity, mm-hmm. and reconciliation. Like how our relationship with God is restored through Christ.
Reconciliation, powerful theme for sure. I'm sensing a pattern here. Lots of different ideas, all connected to God's plan for us.
Exactly. And some folks would say the overarching theme is actually about God magnifying himself through Christ. Mm. Like revealing his glory and power through Jesus.
Wow. So many different ways of looking at it. What do you make of all this? I mean, does it mean there isn't really a single unifying theme?
It's a tough question, and honestly, there's no easy answer. There's no consensus among scholars. Mm-hmm. But even with all the different perspective, I think there's a strong case to be made for the unity of the New Testament.
Unity. But how?
Well, if we view the Bible as God's self-revelation, like God revealing himself to humanity over time, and that revelation culminates in Jesus.
It's like a story that builds and builds.
It suggests a cohesive narrative, a story with a beginning, a middle, and an end. A story that's ultimately about God's love for us.
Okay, that's kind of reassuring, actually. It's a little less overwhelming to think about it that way. But, okay, new question. How can we be sure that all these different authors writing at different times and places are actually telling the same story? I mean, there could be contradictions, right?
That's a valid point. And there are definitely differences in style and emphasis. But if we remember that the Bible is, at its core, God's word, then the diversity of voices actually enriches the narrative.
So it's like different perspectives on the same truth.
Yeah, like different facets of a diamond.
I like that analogy. Okay, this is all fascinating, but I have to ask, why is history so important in understanding New Testament theology? Isn't the Bible more about spiritual truths and moral teachings?
That's a common misconception. To really get the New Testament, we can't detach it from its historical context.
What do you mean?
It's not just a book of abstract ideas or like timeless principles. It's a record of God's actions in human history. Like real events, real people, real consequences, stuff that actually happened. And understanding that context helps us to see how powerful and relevant the message really is.
Okay, I'm starting to see how it all fits together. New Testament theology, it's about the big story. God's story unfolding in history. But I gotta admit, I'm a little surprised you're suggesting we start with Genesis 1 through 3. I mean, that's Old Testament stuff, right?
It might seem a bit out of left field, but trust me, those chapters, they lay the groundwork for major themes that we see throughout the Bible. Themes that ultimately find their fulfillment in Jesus.
Like the creation of the world, right?
Exactly. And the creation of humanity, the fall, the consequences of sin, all that stuff is in those first three chapters. And it sets the stage for everything that comes after.
Okay, I'm officially intrigued. So are we ready to unpack Genesis?
Let's do it. Let's go back to the beginning and see how it all started.
All right, I'm ready. Buckle up, everybody. It's about to get biblical. Okay, Genesis. I mean, I remember these stories, Sunday school. But I'm ready to see them with fresh eyes now, like through the lens of New Testament theology.
It's amazing, right, how these ancient texts can still speak to us today, like thousands of years later.
Yeah.
So Genesis 1, the creation account. What are your initial thoughts?
Well, I mean, the sheer power of God is just mind-blowing. Like, he speaks and the world comes into being. It's poetic, almost.
It is. And for the original audience, this would have been incredibly reassuring, I think. Like, imagine the Israelites about the end of the Promised Land. They hear this story. It's like a reminder that God, who created everything out of nothing, can also bring them into this new land. You know?
Totally. It's like saying, if God can do that, he can definitely handle this.
Exactly. And then in Genesis 2... we see the creation of humanity. God forms Adam from the dust of the ground, breathes life into him, and then Eve is created from Adam's rib.
I always find that interesting. Like, the focus on humans is like God is highlighting how special we are in all of creation.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's not just about our physical creation either. We're told that humanity is created in God's image. which, you know, that's huge.
It is, because it means
we have this unique capacity for relationship with God, for reflecting his character, for exercising dominion over creation as his stewards.
Wow. We're not just random accidents. We have a purpose.
Exactly. But then, of course, comes Genesis 3,
yeah.
The fall.
Oh, yeah. The
fall, that pivotal moment when, you know, Adam and Eve disobey God's command. And that choice, that one choice, has consequences for them, for all creation.
The classic tale of temptation.
Right.
And disobedience. I think everyone can relate to that on some level, you know. Like, we all make bad choices, and we have to deal with the fallout.
It's the human condition. And Genesis 3 doesn't sugarcoat it. We see the effects of sin, the brokenness, alienation from God, relationships falling apart, pain, suffering, and ultimately death.
It's a pretty bleak picture, but there's hope, right? God doesn't just leave us hanging.
You're right. Even in the midst of judgment, there's that glimmer of hope. God promises a future redeemer, the seed of the woman who will crush the serpent's head.
Oh, yeah. That's a big one. So even way back then, we see the theme of redemption starting to emerge. It's like a thread that runs through the whole Bible, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. And as we go through the Old Testament, we'll see how that promise unfolds. God's covenants with his people, the prophets pointing towards a coming Messiah. All of that builds towards redemption.
Okay, so we've got creation, humanity's special place, the fall, and the promise of redemption. It's incredible how these early chapters set the stage for so much of what follows.
They do, don't they?
Yeah.
It's almost like Genesis 1 through 3 is a microcosm of the entire biblical story. And now as we shift to the New Testament, we're going to see how those themes find their ultimate fulfillment in Jesus Christ.
Okay, I'm ready. Hit me with the New Testament. But first, can we just like recap the key takeaways from Genesis just to make sure we're all on the same page?
Sure. First, we see God as the sovereign creator, the one who speaks, and it is. Second, humanity, created in God's image with a special purpose, a responsibility. Third, the fall, the reality of sin and the consequences. And finally, that glimmer of hope, the promise of redemption.
It's hitting me now that these aren't just stories. They're foundational truths, like shaping how we understand God, ourselves, the world.
And as we explore the New Testament, you'll see how all those truths find their ultimate expression in Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
In his life, his death, his resurrection.
Let's do it. Bring on the New Testament.
Okay, so one of the first things we see in the New Testament is how Jesus is presented as the fulfillment of Old Testament hopes and prophecies. Like, the Gospels are filled with connections between Jesus and the Old Testament.
Yeah, like Jesus' lineage, right? How it connects back to Abraham and David.
Exactly. Matthew's Gospel, it starts by tracing Jesus' family tree all the way back to them, like highlighting his connection to those ancient promises.
It's like, bam, right from the start, they're saying, this is it, this is the guy.
And throughout the Gospels, we see Jesus fulfilling prophecies about the Messiah, his miraculous birth, his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. It's all very deliberate.
It's like a tapestry, you know, woven together with threads from both testaments.
It is. And it's not just about a checklist of predictions either. It's about Jesus embodying the deeper meaning and purpose behind those prophecies. He's the ultimate expression of God's love, justice, mercy.
So it's not just like, oh, look, he did this thing the prophet said he would do. It's more about, like, who he is.
Exactly. He's not just some random good guy. He's the fulfillment of God's long-awaited plan. And that plan, that redemptive plan, it doesn't end with Jesus' ascension.
Oh, right. There's more. The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit. The New Testament emphasizes the ongoing work of the Spirit in the lives of believers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Spirit is Jesus's continuing presence in the world.
So it's not just about studying what Jesus did back then.
It's about experiencing his power today through the Spirit.
So the Spirit empowers us.
The Spirit empowers us to live out his teachings, to participate in his mission. It's like the adventure continues.
Okay, so we've got Jesus as the fulfillment of prophecy, the Holy Spirit empowering us to live like Jesus. What else, what other big ideas does New Testament theology highlight?
Well, one that's really important is community.
You mean like church?
Yes, the church. We're not meant to go it alone on this journey of faith. The New Testament talks about the church as the body of Christ. Like, we're all interconnected, interdependent.
Each part is important.
Exactly. And we need each other for support, for encouragement, for accountability. And the church, it has a mission to proclaim the gospel, make disciples, live out the teachings of Jesus in the world.
It's like we're all part of something bigger than ourselves.
And that something bigger is God's kingdom. Which brings us to that already but not yet idea we talked about earlier.
Oh, yeah, that tension.
It's a key concept in New Testament theology. It means that Jesus has inaugurated God's kingdom, but its full consummation, like the full realization of it, is still to come. So we're living in this in-between time.
It's like a trailer for the main event.
Exactly. We get glimpses of what's coming, but the best is yet to come.
That's actually pretty exciting.
It should be. Because it means we have a purpose right now. We're not just waiting around for heaven. We're called to be agents of God's kingdom, working for justice and peace and reconciliation.
So it's about bringing heaven to earth now.
That's it. We're not just passively waiting for the future. We're actively participating in God's redemptive work in the present. And that work can take many forms. Loving our neighbors, caring for the poor, standing up for truth.
This is a lot to take in, but it's good. It's challenging in a good way. It's like it's not just about escaping to heaven someday. It's about making a difference now.
That's the heart of New Testament theology. Yeah. It's about understanding our place in God's story and embracing the mission he's given us. And that mission is deeply connected to this idea of new creation.
New creation. So back to Genesis again.
In a way, yeah. Remember the creation account. The New Testament takes that idea and expands on it. It envisions a future where God makes all things new. A renewed heaven and earth, no more sin, no more death. It's the ultimate restoration.
The grand finale.
But it's not just a future hope. It's something that's breaking into the present.
Wait, how?
Through the Holy Spirit. Through the work of God's kingdom. Every act of love, every act of justice, every moment of reconciliation. Those are all signs of the new creation breaking through.
Wow, so we're participating in that. Right now.
That's right. We're living in the tension of the already and the not yet, embracing the present reality of God's kingdom, but eagerly anticipating its full consummation.
Okay, this idea of living in the tension, it's really resonating with me. It's like we're citizens of heaven, but we're also ambassadors of Christ here and now.
And that tension, it should fuel our hope, our sense of urgency. It should shape everything we do.
So how does this new creation idea fit into that?
The new creation, it's not just some far-off event. It's already happening. Every act of love, every act of justice, every step towards reconciliation, it's a sign of the new creation dawning. And when we participate in those things, we're not just making the world a better place. We're participating in God's ultimate plan of renewal.
I'm starting to see it. New Testament theology, it's not just an academic thing. It's an invitation to participate in God's story.
It's a story that's still being written. You know, your story, my story, our stories in the church. It's all part of this grand narrative.
Okay, that's huge. It means we're not just passive observers. We're active participants.
Yeah.
But like, how? What does that look like practically?
That's the million-dollar question, and yeah. I think it deserves its own conversation. We'll explore some of the practical implications of New Testament theology in our next segment, how it shapes our lives, our relationships, our engagement with the world.
All right, I am ready for part three. Okay, so part three, this is where the rubber meets the road, right? We've talked about God's big story, this huge redemptive arc, and that tension, you know, the old already but not yet.
Mm. It's all very interesting, intellectually stimulating.
But a lot of people are probably wondering, like, how does this actually change things for me?
Right. How does New Testament theology affect my everyday life? What difference does it make?
Give us some concrete examples.
Okay, well, let's start with relationships. The New Testament, it talks a lot about love, right? Love your neighbor as yourself. But what does that look like in practice?
Yeah, what does that actually mean?
New Testament theology helps us see that love isn't just a feeling, it's an action. It's about seeking the good of others, even when it's hard, even when they don't deserve it.
Because
that's what God did for us in Christ. He loved us when we were still sinners.
That's challenging. It's easy to love the people who are easy to love. But what about the difficult people? The ones who, you know, push our buttons?
That's where it gets real, isn't it? And New Testament theology reminds us that everyone, even those difficult people, they're created in God's image.
So we're called to see them that way.
And those difficult relationships, they can actually become opportunities for spiritual growth.
Interesting. It's like we're being refined through those relationships.
And it's not just our personal relationships. New Testament theology also has implications for how we engage with the world, with society.
Okay, how so?
Think about issues of justice, for example. Social action. When we understand that God is a God of justice, that he cares for the poor, the marginalized,
it should change how we act.
It should motivate us to work for a more just and equitable world. It's not just about going to church and feeling good about ourselves. It's about getting out there and making a difference.
So New Testament theology has teeth. It's not just theory, it's action.
Exactly. And that action can take many forms. It might mean volunteering at a local soup kitchen, or advocating for policy changes, or speaking out against injustice.
Whatever it looks like, it's about living out our faith in tangible ways.
That's right. It's about bringing the kingdom of God to earth as much as we can in the here and now. And that brings us back to that idea of new creation.
Yeah, the new creation. It's not just a future hope.
Right. It's breaking into the present. Every time we see an act of love, an act of justice, a moment of reconciliation, it's like a crack in the old order,
yeah.
A glimpse of what's to come.
And we're part of it.
We're invited to participate in that.
Yeah.
In those small, everyday acts of love and justice, we're actually participating in God's grand story of redemption and renewal.
Wow, that's amazing. I never thought about it that way before.
It's pretty mind-blowing when you think about it. So as we wrap up this deep dive, I want to encourage everyone listening to go back and revisit the things we've talked about.
Yeah, we covered a lot of ground, but it's all connected.
The Old Testament, the New Testament, they all fit together into this beautiful, complex story of God's love.
And it's a story that we're all a part of. So listener, here's a final thought for you to chew on.
If the Bible is a unified story culminating in Jesus, what chapter are you living in right now?
And what does your role in this grand narrative look like?
Keep seeking. Keep wrestling with these questions. New Testament theology, it's a journey.
It's an adventure.
A lifelong adventure of discovery.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive, everyone. Until next time, keep exploring.